There were two different directions I was going to go tonight, and I'll be honest with you, I don't know if I chose the right ones or not. But I'm going to ask you at this time, if you would, to open up in your New Testament to the Gospel of Luke chapter 7. The Gospel of Luke chapter 7. This particular passage we're going to look at runs from verse 36 through the end of the chapter. But it's an account of an event that took place with Jesus and how he went into the home of a Pharisee for dinner. There's some interesting little aspects of this particular thing that Jesus used as a great teaching moment. At a situation where he should have been offended, he instead of accepting the dishonor that was placed on him, he used it as a teaching moment. He used it as a moment of grace for an individual. And so we want to look at that tonight. So we're going to begin our reading at verse 36. Now, one of the Pharisees was requesting him, Jesus, to dine with him. And he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume. And standing behind him, at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and kept wiping them with the hair of her head and kissing his feet and anointing them with the perfume. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he replied, "Say it, teacher." A certain money lender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. Which of them, therefore, will love him more? Simon answered and said, "Well, I suppose the one he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have judged correctly." And turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins have been forgiven." And those who were reclining at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this man who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." You know, it's an interesting story. As we look through this, we see that Jesus had been the invited guest to this Pharisee's home. Now, I'm not sure if you understand, and maybe this is old hat to you, but I'm not sure that you understand this issue of reclining at the table. In Israel, during that time, when you were going to be having a meeting, you laid down at a table that was about this tall. All right? And that's all the taller that the table was where people reclined for their daily meal. And it wasn't in the big dining room. And so whenever you see that they are reclining in the scriptures at the table, it's one of those little short tables. And they would literally lay down. They would lay down with the table right here in front of them and their feet stretched out behind them. And that's the circumstance that we see Jesus in. The Pharisee has invited him into his house. He doesn't even take him into the expensive dining area. Takes him to the place where the common meals would be held, not the invited guest meals. And as Jesus goes in, this woman finds out Jesus is in that house. And she goes and she kneels on the ground by his feet, which are stretched out behind him. And she begins to wipe his feet. She is crying, and the tears are representative of repentance. All right? They're tears of brokenness, tears of sorrow for her sinfulness. And the tears are flowing so much that they're wetting his feet. And so she takes her hair, her long hair, and wipes his feet. And then she kisses them. Now, common practice in Israel at this time would be, if I say I invited Matt, when Matt showed up at my door, I would have by the door water. And I would have by the door a vial of oil. And because everybody had to walk, they always came in with dusty, dirty feet. They had dusty, dirty hair. And so what would happen would be, as Matt would come to my door, the very first thing that I would do is I would greet him at that door, take that water, and he would bow like this and hold his hands like this, and I would pour water over his head to wash out the dust. It was called purification. All right, that was the manner of purification of the Jews, is what they referred to that as. And then the water, he would catch that in his hands and would be able to wipe his feet clean. And then, as soon as I would do that, I would give him a kiss on the cheek. Now, we get a little repulsed by that in American society, but we're one of the few societies that is a little repulsed by that. They still, to this day, kiss one another on the cheek. And in fact, the scriptures tell us to greet one another with a holy kiss. It's a demonstration of friendship. It's a demonstration of acceptance. I wouldn't kiss him on the lips.
Thank you.
But it would also be offensive if I kissed him on the top of the head, because that would be a demonstration of superiority. All right, I'm showing equality by a kiss on the cheek. The Pharisee didn't do that. He didn't do any of it. When you were an invited guest and those things were not offered to you, I forgot about the oil. The vial of oil, after he had the water run through his hair and he took and wiped his feet, he would be offered a towel. And that towel, he would wipe off his hair and dry that, dry his hands, dry his feet in cleaning, because it was offensive to that home if he went in with dirty feet. But that would happen. And then he would stand there like this, and that oil would be poured over him. What would happen in that arid, dry area was that the hair would become very dry, very brittle, and for them it was a sign to have a sheen in your hair. It was a demonstration of acceptance and that type of thing within that society. And so that oil would be poured, and then he would take and wipe that oil through his hair, and then again wipe his hands off. None of that was done. When that was not done to an invited guest, that was a demonstration of offense. If I didn't offer that stuff to Matt and do that, Matt would be offended. How did Jesus handle that? He went in. He reclined at the table. This woman comes in. She has the expensive oil. She has wet his feet with her tears. Not having a towel, she wiped the tears from his feet with her hair. And then she poured the oil and the perfume over his feet. The Pharisee, and I love the way the scriptures record this, the Pharisee thinks to himself, and he's thinking, man, if this guy were really a prophet, if he really knew what was going on, he'd know what kind of an evil woman this is. By the way, she was a prostitute. Okay? She was a prostitute. And that's why she was not accepted. But Jesus, and that's why the scriptures say that her sins were many. Many. And so what takes place here is that this Pharisee begins to think, man, if he was really a prophet, if he was really an honorable person, he would know who this person is. And then it says, and Jesus answered him. I love that. He didn't speak this out, but Jesus heard every word. You want to know something? You may not speak out what you're thinking, but Jesus hears every thought. He knows what's in the heart. So it's important that we keep our thoughts honorable because God reads them. And so this Pharisee, Jesus answers him, his thoughts, and he says to him, he says, Simon, and that's the Pharisee's name. It's not Peter. All right, this is a Pharisee named Simon. He says, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he replies, say it, teacher. And he says, and he tells the story of the money lender and the vast difference in the people, their debt and that kind of thing. And then Jesus looks at him and says, well, who do you think appreciates the forgiveness of the debt more? The one who has been forgiven, had a huge debt forgiven, or the one who just owed little had his forgiven? The guy says, well, I guess the guy that was forgiven much. And then Jesus picks it up here. He says, you have judged correctly. And then he turns to the woman. And he says, do you see this woman? That's an interesting question. Because he's not saying, do you visualize this person here? But in reality, what he's saying is, do you see the value of this person? Every person in the eyes of God is valuable. Because he has created them, because he has sacrificed for them, and they're valuable. Do you see this woman? Do you see the contrition, the repentance, the demonstration that she is making here? He says this, I entered your house. You gave me no water. Offense number one. You gave me no water. After walking the dusty, dirty streets, you gave me no water. Slap. But she has wet my feet with her tears. The very fluids of her body from being broken over her sin, she has poured out on my feet. You didn't even bring a bowl. And she has wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss. Offense number two. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You left my cheek unattended. She has been kissing my feet since the moment that she got there. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with perfume. And by the way, that was not a cheap commodity. And it probably, in spite of her profession, it probably cost her everything that she had to bring that little vial and to pour it on his feet. You didn't take the common oil. She's poured out perfume on me. For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many. Simon, I understand that. I agree. Her sins are many. They've been forgiven. For she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little. Simon, you have not demonstrated love where she has. Then he says to her, your sins have been forgiven. And those who were reclining at the table with him began to say to themselves, dangerous thing. Dangerous thing. Because you see, who those would have been that reclined with them would have been additional Pharisees. And so those who were reclining at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this man who even forgives sins? By the way, they're not asking this in amazement. Okay? They're not going like when people were given sight after being blind all of their lives and people were amazed and go, wow, who is this? It's not that type of a who is this. It's a, who is this? Who's this guy? Who does he think he is? Are we supposed to believe that he can forgive sins? Only God can forgive sins. Kind of interesting. Who is Jesus? He's God. Who do they think he is? A nut. That's who they think he is. They think he's a false prophet. They think he's a liar. They think he's a blasphemer. I mean, to have the gall to look at a woman like this and say, your sins have been forgiven, they're taken back by that. Who is this man who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, catch it, your faith has saved you. Isn't that interesting? Your faith. Your act of contrition and repentance. Your simple belief in who I am has brought you life. Has saved you. Go in peace. Your sins have been forgiven. Go in peace. Folks, the spiritually self-righteous rarely experience the grace of God. Rarely do they experience God's grace. And when they do, they don't even recognize it because it's all about them. That's dangerous. Everyone has value in the eyes of God. Everyone is valuable in the eyes of God. And everyone who comes through these doors of this church is valuable. Doesn't matter what their background is. Doesn't matter what their history is. They're valuable. We need to always remember that. Let's not be Pharisaical. But instead, let's honor the sacrifice of Jesus by anointing him with our love and our faithfulness. Let's always acknowledge his great gift of grace, his great gift of forgiveness. And let's walk in faithful obedience to him. Let's stand. Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for these few moments we've had to share together here tonight. And Lord, let us leave this place with a unique sense of your forgiveness for our sins. Let us leave this place tonight with hearts that are drawn to you, hearts that are willing to be like this woman, where we will sacrifice at great cost in order to have your grace. And to continue in your grace and to walk in love with you. Now, Father, watch over us this week as we come in contact with people who have sinned. Let us never look down on them, but help us to make them look up. And as they look up, let them see beyond us to your cross. And Father, we'll give you thanks and we'll give you praise, for it's in your glorious and righteous and holy name that we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for being here tonight. Please give us a moment to get to the back so we can greet you. Have a great week in Jesus.